As we come together in celebration of a new stewardship education experience, it's quite timely that the render to Caesar passage from Matthew's Gospel has come up as our reading today. By engaging in the Alabama Plan of Stewardship Education, we've encouraged a foundational shift in thinking from stewardship being fundraising to support a budget, to stewardship being an intentional giving back to God from all that God has given us. We've begun to change our attitude of giving from, I'll give X number of dollars because that's what I can spare, to, God has given everything to me, so this is where I will begin to give back to God in return. And as important as that thinking is, and as important as our financial commitment is, the even more important aspect of this plan of stewardship education is the connections that are made with each other. I've heard several wonderful stories about bonds that have been made in this process that would have never been made before. Connections that are now present that would have never happened had one member of our family not connected with another as a part of this stewardship. Yes, the financial commitment is important, but the even more important part of this new plan of stewardship is the stewardship of giving of ourselves to each other. And that's the exciting part of stewardship here at Grace. We have given of ourselves to each other, and we will continue to do so. Dollars keep the lights on and keep the air or heat going, and other more important necessary ministries are accomplished through our commitments of our treasures. But our commitment of ourselves is what shows the world that our Grace Church family is part of the body of Christ. As we hear from the author of Matthew, the tension is mounting. It has been for some time. Matthew is particularly attentive to the divide between the Pharisees, those in positions of responsibility in the temple, and Jesus. The divide Matthew presents is huge. The tension swells with each interaction. At the point at which we enter the picture today, the Pharisees are doing everything they can to entrap Jesus. This tactic on their part is not new. The crowd is hanging on his every word. They are listening with rapt attention. He is causing a commotion with what he's saying. He needs to back off. He needs to be shut down. People should not be preaching things like that from the pulpit. We don't agree. Jesus' words make the old guard uncomfortable. Not only that, he makes them downright angry. He's threatening their position, and they want him gone. It seems that these Pharisees are also a bit passive-aggressive. They're so afraid of the crowd that they don't have the guts to get rid of Jesus, to excommunicate him or something. So they try to trip him up. They try to entrap him, to make him say something heretical so they have canon law on their side. First, they ask him for his credentials. By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority? Jesus turns the question on them, and this sparring match ends in a standoff. Then the question becomes about which son is better, the one that says, yes, I'll do the work, and doesn't, or the one who says, no, I'm not going to, but then does. The response seems like a no-brainer on this one, but Jesus doesn't answer. He tells the Pharisees that tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of heaven because the tax collectors and prostitutes were willing to listen and hear what he was saying rather than question and try and find loopholes and blame in everything he taught. Still, they don't back down. These Pharisees are relentless in digging their own spiritual grave. Jesus tells them two daunting parables that we've heard on the two Sundays prior to today, parables that egg these instigators on even more and end up with their having egg on their own faces. Parables that finally crescendoed last week by speaking about one person being thrown into the outer darkness where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus has now enraged his adversaries. He didn't back down, but he engaged with them all the more. So now they are absolutely determined to entrap him in some way so that they can call the Roman guard in to get rid of him. So they ask him a question about taxes. Is it lawful, they ask, to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Why are you asking me this ridiculous question? Jesus basically responds. Actually, that may be nicer than the response Jesus gave him. He said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin. Whose head is on it? Whose title? Give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." Not surprisingly, we hear that upon hearing this question, the questioners left and went away. Give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. This line has so often been used to confirm that we indeed should pay taxes to our government. And although most of us seem to resent paying taxes, or at least try and find every loophole possible, we at all the same time seem to appreciate some of the benefits our taxes afford us, like interstate systems, national security, social security, Medicare. Of greater interest than our personal usage or misusage of this passage is Jesus' response. Give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. The emperor may lay claim on this piece of copper or nickel or silver or gold with his name and face imprinted on it, but God lays claim to everything. Jesus was actually being quite generous in saying, give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's and to God the things that are God's. Because when it comes down to it, nothing is the emperor's and everything is God's. Such is the generosity. Such is the loving kindness of God. The loving kindness and generosity of God allows the emperor to lay claim to his treasury, allows us to lay claim to our possessions. Jesus says, in effect, I'm not going to get into this with you, you hypocrites. Check your agenda. What is it that you're really focusing on? Searching for truth or searching for ways to entrap me? Yet even still, I will offer you the love of God, a love that doesn't keep score, a love that comes from a place of enough, and not even enough, but more than that, abundance. A love that is not threatened by allowing the emperor to stake a claim of his own. The big question here, then, is what is God's? What in our life is God's? How are we living that out? Stewardship is at its most basic level about our giving to the church financially. But the bigger picture of stewardship is an understanding of our relationship with God and with each other, and moreover, with the world that is God's, not ours. We come today giving thanks and celebrating our stewardship of our treasures to Grace Church and our stewardship to each other. And we ask God to encourage us to continue and further our stewardship in the world. Amen.